everyone, and welcome back. Thank you so much for joining us on our podcast. And I'm Celine, and I am here with me, Ria.
Hello.
Hi. And we are here to talk about the second season of our favorite K-drama, that is Hospital Playlist. And it has now telecasted its first episode, which was telecasted this Thursday. And we're here to discuss, we're here to review, we're here to talk about the theories, talk about our disappointments and the things that we liked about it. So yeah, let's go ahead. Over to you, Ria.
Okay, thank you so much, Celine. Yes, there were certain things which, well, we'll start with that I'm still a little shook. I don't know how to react. I was expecting these things to happen. Now, what happens generally is that whenever I expect certain things to happen, it never happens in real life or even on the shows. My expectations are always like the empty expectations that I have, and it never happens. And this time, my expectations were actually in the negative side, and it happened. So I'm just so clueless at the moment. Well, we'll get into that. First, what was your opinion regarding the episode? Did you like it?
So, how did I feel during the episode? When I got into the episode, I think it took me a little while to feel is it possible to. Because somehow the starting storytelling was a little bit different than the previous season. So it took me a little while to warm up to the first episode, but that also happened in the season one episode that was there. It took me a little while to warm up to it. And the scene where Minha is there, you know, eating that her dinner alone, it was a very different kind of scene. I had not seen that. I did not expect such a scene to come in Hospital Playlist, but it did. And somehow it was also a kind of a reminder that maybe, you know, Sangha also had certain situation like this. You know, just saying. And so yeah, and that scene where she goes out and she sees them around the emergency room and in the snow, it felt very different. That there was Christmas theme that was going around. So that was the point that felt a little not Hospital Playlist, but then soon realized, oh my god, yeah, this is a show that I used to love. This is a show that I do love. And started, because I think this was a coming back, so we had to get a working lead. Where are the characters right now? So they told about where is Sihong, where is Jaehyuk, where is others, and this basic tutorial is telling them to which of the couples have failed, which have not. And that also includes our the couple that is there in neurosurgery. It's actually called Silver Dragon.
Silver Dragon? What for?
Yeah, I don't know why, but it's called Silver Dragon.
Seokmin and Seonbin, yes, Seokmin and Seonbin. Neurosurgery residents. I have written it down. Neurosurgery residents dating in the bracket.
And that was a scene that I really liked, because
I did. Even in first season, I liked them together. They're like cute puppies. Very sweet. In any case, I liked Seokmin. He was very nice. Poor guy used to get so much thrashing and scolding, but I always liked him more than Jihong, probably because I saw him as a potential threat, and Seokmin was never like that. So, before we delve into the episode, or rather into the couple, shall we say that this actually starts right where the first season left off?
Yeah.
So, right at the end of first season, we find Seokhyung getting a message from, invitation rather, from Minha, asking him to join her for Christmas dinner at the steakhouse right opposite, I can't speak today, right opposite the hospital huge. And but then he just refuses that, and he says that he would rather, like, he wanted her to continue with her friends. And he was about to leave, but then he receives a call from Yoon Shin Hye, that's Seok Hyung's ex-wife, and we do meet her in this first episode. We find more about that. That's where the first season ended, and that's exactly where it resumed in the second season. And we see that she is there along with her mother, because her father collapsed on their way to their family Christmas dinner. And he had some neurological complications, for which they wanted Seok Hyung to be there to help them out. And we find him eating eating dinner with his ex-wife rather than Minha. And then we find poor Minha celebrating it, the dinner, or rather having the dinner all by herself. She had actually ordered for two people. And then she was, that was very heartbreaking. The song that was that song that they played in the background was Introduce Me to a Good Person from season one. It broke my heart. And finally, when she carries everything with her, whatever she had, there was a teddy bear, there was a bouquet of flowers, there was a cake that was on the house from the chef. She carried everything, and I think she received a call, and that was from Gyeon, and she said that and she was completely frozen because it was snowing out. Poor girl. And then she sees Seok Hyung with his wife, you know, in a shirt. They were sharing one umbrella. From a third person's point of view, they looked pretty cozy, sharing an umbrella and all that. And poor girl, her expression and her body language, oh my God, my heart broke. And then we get to see a new character. A new fellow has been introduced. She would be joining them as a fellow in the next year, as was told to us by ER Dr. Bong, I believe. Her name is Kang So Ye.
Okay.
And this person, we do not get to see more about her, but then we see that she develops some sort of a crush on Jeomon.
Yeah.
I don't see her posing any difficulty in the life of Winter Garden, but then again, she was a little too upfront. It was a little disturbing.
Yeah, I think it was very uncomfortable, especially. The way she held his hand and
We do not know much about her. Maybe in the future days we'll get to know more. I'm not very interested in, I'm not looking forward to meeting her much, though. It would be completely fine if we don't meet her at all. But I guess there has to be some complication. This is, I was talking about, remember the last podcast, we were talking about some complications in Winter Garden's life as well. But then this third angle is very irritating. You know, we already have Seok Hyung, Minha, and Shin Hye. Do we really need another disturbing element in Winter Garden's life? I really don't know. Yeah, over to you regarding Middle the ring problem is addressed.
Basically, we actually suspected that only. It was being a little paranoid. It had to be that way. Ikson is not that way. So yeah, she did not return it, but she wasn't there at that point of time. And so it got returned and sent back to him. And so Junwan asked her that, do you want me to send it again? She said, no, don't send it again. I will, when I come back to Korea, give it to me then. And are we ready for a proposal then?
That would be amazing.
Yeah, so
that would be amazing. Yeah. So and then we have I think Yes, the Birulgi's ring problem was addressed. We get to see for the first time in the first season, we have been told that Jeongwon and Yunwan, they are roommates.
Yeah.
And they are soul. It has been hinted quite a few times when they say, even when they are pulling each other's legs, that, you know, we are soulmates and all, and we share everything. But this is the first time we actually see them together, like in their in their personal space, sharing the flat. And it was cute, especially how they fight like Tom and Jerry.
Right.
So it is nice.
Also, now that, you know, Jeongwon is also in a relationship, now it would be Jeongwon's turn to, you know, tease him back because of all the things Jeongwon did. And if you look at it, they kind of are soulmates. They fell in love at the very same time. And now they're dating together. And they are the only two who stepped things in the season that
somehow is. I don't know how Jeongwon, every time Ik-sun calls him up, he panics. The panic in his face is so evident that I don't know why he tries to hide it. But then he can easily hide it from Jeongwon, but I don't know how long he can hide it from Ik-jun. Yeah, we'll come to that later. And then we are given a little bit more detail about Seokhyung's ex-father. And then 30 minutes into the episode, we get to see Ik-jun. And just like in the first season, how he was introduced a little later, he was at around the same mark actually. Same time mark, he was introduced here as well. And Ik-jun in his, absolutely in his own, you know, signature way, he breaks the fourth wall by addressing how Uju has grown up so much.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see that scene? It was so cute.
He
was so surprised. He said that, can you believe it? That it's just a day, but he looks like he has grown so much. And then he tells us about the growth spurt and everything. But it is mostly because I think they wanted to address the audience about, because the show actually picked up right when the season one ended. However, the shooting for this season happened about a year later. So in that 1 year, Kim Jun, I believe, right? His name is the child actor. He has grown quite a bit. So for that reason, his father probably breaks the fourth wall and talks to us, giving us explanation how and why it looks like he has grown so much.
If you notice also, they were the three people who were shown at the very same time, were the same three people who were shown in season one. When, you know.
Yes, absolutely. Auntie Wong, Ik-jun, and our tiny little Uju. But I was very upset. The only thing that, you know, made me sad is that I did not see Uju speaking. He was just sleeping. He is so adorable. I just wanted to give him a hug. Like, I'm always wanting to give a hug to him and his father. I can't decide to start with who first.
Aww. So yeah, that is there.
But I think they need the hugs most at this point.
Another person who actually needed the hug was Minha.
Oh, yeah. She is so tough. But then I think by the end of the episode, there was a little bit of positivity in her life. We'll talk about that when it comes, I think, right? So, and then something happens, kind of a case which was not picked up later on in the episode. But then we find Ik-jun taking that particular patient to the hospital. That's where we see Sangwa coming in.
Right.
The moment they see each other, there was, they had a smile, but you can see that there is a lot of apprehension behind that smile. Ajun asked Sangwa to have coffee with him. Again, it symbolized the reaction of Sangwa. Actually, told us that she remembers what having coffee with Ajun meant, or rather, having coffee with Sangwa meant for Ajun. Remember, in episode 10, season 1, he said that this is a treat that I give myself. His first confession. So her facial expression said that she recognized that. She realized and remembered it. But then she went along. She said that, okay, let's go to my office and let's have a cup of coffee. And they are not shown again. And the next... Then we are shown how Gyeol is working in that hospital and how busy she is keeping, even though she is in a relationship which is not expressed or which is not shown right away. She is in her natural habitat, basically, running around. And at this point, she is she doesn't just do residency in... the general surgery, but she's also there in pediatrics. Her work doubles up. And should we talk about the little girl who passed away? Would you like to talk about her?
I think that is the
Yeonhyuk.
So there were two cases which were shown in this episode. It was less than the previous episodes because they're very heavy medically as well. This was not that heavy. So the girl, the little girl, passed away, and her mother keep on. Little girl, or was it a guy? A small boy.
Girl, a little girl.
Okay.
Boy, was it a boy?
The mother.
You knew. I thought it was a girl.
A little child.
We just. We will just address her, that child, that person as a child. So yeah, a child. Yeonhyuk.
So that child passed away, and her mother still keeps on coming to the hospital with sometimes with different gifts, and she kind of wants to talk to Gyeol about how the child was. And at first it feels like she is kind of blaming Gyeol in the first scene. It feels like that. And the nurses even talk about why is she coming again and again to visit the hospital. Is she trying to fool us? But the other nurse says that that's not the case. And in the end, it is actually shown that she's not ready to let go her child. And she and Gyeol is the only person she can talk to. With her, and also because she just doesn't want to stop being the child's mother. She still wants to, you know, be called that, and her child lives a little, you know, such a short period of life, and she wants to remember, you know, the child for a long, long period of time till she finally lets go. And that scene was really hard for her. And
yes. Especially because the child has always been so sick that he or she has was practically living in that hospital, and along with that child, his or her mother too. So outside that hospital, nobody really got to see that little kid. So to them, the mother was just like. Like when she is not with her child, like a normal person, somebody's wife maybe, or maybe she is her own identity there is a, but this is the first time this is the only place where she can be identified as her child's mother. So probably that is one connection she is reluctant to let go of, and that is why she keeps on visiting, whereas the reason is not very clear initially, and all the nurses and all, they are all very worried. Even Gyeol is shown to be worried why this person comes over and over again. without any, you know, pretext and all. And that's when we see Gyeol and An Jeong-won together. A very tiny scene, I would say, isn't it? Like, almost like, I really do, like, the entire episode wasn't dominated by them. I actually was expecting that the after that big reveal and the kiss that happened, that it would be dominated by Winter Garden, but no, it wasn't. It was actually dominated by Minha. Minha and Seokhyun. Very, very air case. But yeah, nice change. I'm sure this is just the first episode. We'll get to see them more. They're just starting out, so there is a little bit of hesitance on both the sides. But then here, Jeong-won tells her exactly why that woman is visiting the hospital. It's not because she wants to sue them or anything. It's just because the connect that she has in the with this patient child.
I think it was a very pretty warm scene, to be honest. I really liked it. I did not expect me to like it so much, but I really liked the scene. It was very natural. And like they had been leaving for such a long period of time, it felt like that. Very natural.
Yeah, and then we come to the to a very funny scene between Jeong-won and Ikjun, the fight scene with the crackers. Them behaving like grade schoolers. I don't know. It's like an episode of Hospital Playlist is incomplete without Ikjun and Jeong-won fighting.
Right.
You see, Jeong-won and Jeong-won fight with each other as well, but their fight is mostly verbal. They're not physical with each other. But Jeong-won and Ikjun, oh my god. Like, it's hilarious. Those who have not seen the episode, please go and watch this one particular scene. It's so amazing. Both Kyung-ho and Jeong-suk, they are amazing actors. Not just they are great actors, but they can act with their whole body. It's like behaving like grade schoolers when you are 40 years old is definitely a very difficult thing to achieve. They do it, and they do it with so much ease. I actually liked that episode, like that particular scene so much. Do you see Soma's expression?
Yeah.
So it's like she was talking to Seokmin, where Seokmin was saying that they wanted Ikjun to go and address some sort of symposium or a class in a different medical college. And she said, why is it only, why does it have to be Ikjun? He says that, okay, because he's so charismatic, because he's so good as a doctor. And even in the last season, we were told that Ikjun has become a very famous doctor because he's so good and because of the amount of age, the VIP cases that he was taking up in the hospital, which indirectly funded Jeong-won's Daddy Long Legs program. So he was getting so much famous now that even in season 2, they addressed that. They say that he's very famous, almost like a celebrity doctor now. And so Seokmin was really very excited to invite him to a different college, I think where his brother works or studies maybe. But then, Songwa was very confident, saying that, yeah, if he has time, if he's free, he'll definitely go and give the lecture because he likes doing these things. And those two, when they were like puppies, they wanted to meet Ikjun and talk to him. Door of her office, and two heads are fighting with each other. That's one is the HP. The general surgeon fighting like literally like grade schoolers, throwing things at each other beating each other, tickling each other. It's like the her expression was like, oh my goodness, what will happen if they get to see this? So she tried her level best to stop those two kids from entering the room. You know, you remember that scene? She was feeling, she was trying to hide them so that they could not see what is going on inside. And she said, yeah, I just talked to him and he's okay. He's okay, he'll definitely do it and all.
Right. Also, one thing that was there that I definitely did you see the glow up on Sandhya Bhaskar? Like, suddenly she was so exterior.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, that's one funny scene. There was another funny scene between Junwan and Jeongwon, where Jeongwon's stinginess was again was brought to the forefront when there was a scene with the shampoo. Remember that?
Yeah.
Where there was a funny scene there when Jeongwon actually asked Junwan whether he had used his shampoo, and Junwan flatly declines. So Jeongwon used reverse psychology there test. And he said, you should, because the shampoo is so good and all. And then Junwan, our pure-hearted Junwan, thought that Jeongwon has really changed. And he said, yes, I used it. And then he threw toilet paper, I think a roll of toilet paper, right onto his face. And then there is a dialogue which he says, Junwan says that, wow, he must have been a picture in his last life. That, I think, is a throwback to Reply 1994.
Yeah. Exactly. That's a Reply 1994 reference there. And it's so funny how they put it. And yeah, I think it's brilliant how they use references from back in their shows, how they keep referencing Reply series over
Absolutely.
And over.
I really did. I do not want to take the credit. It was actually Twitter. I don't want to take the credit because I have watched 94, but then I have watched only 5 to 6 episodes. And you know my emotions for 94. Like, I really did not like it that much. So I did not remember that it could be a throwback or rather a reference to that particular
show.
The Chilbong character. Yes. But then, well, thanks to Twitter, I got to know that. And I added it to my list of notes.
Twitter actually was flowing with so many theories. And we did discuss that. But first, let's discuss Ik-song, I guess. I think it's the time.
Before we go on to Ik-song and break our hearts once again. There's another scene that was that is a direct throwback to season one. That is also a very funny one where Songhwa says she wants to be a villain. Do you remember the villain scene from season one?
Right, villain. And he says that, you know, villain is someone who's very hardworking.
That's Ik-jun for you.
Yeah.
And they actually deleted a part of the scene where he says that Songhwa is really cute when she doesn't realize anything and she takes you at the face value. And they, in the BTS, and then they actually mentioned there that this is where we see for the first time Ik-jun's feelings towards Songhwa. And then they decide to cut it out from the main scene. I don't know why they cut it out, but then they did. However, this villain scene was hilarious in season one. And I think that was a reference back to that particular season where, you know, if people are wondering why she would want to become a villain, well, she doesn't understand English that much, I believe. And villain to her was a new word. And our Ik-jun thought of trolling her a little bit. And he gave a completely opposite and a distorted meaning for villain, and she actually believed him. That's why Ichi told her that villain means somebody who can run very fast, who is a do-gooder, and who is, you know, who is good at everything. So she, her ultimate aim is to become the biggest villain in the whole of Yulje. So that is really hilarious over there.
Right.
So, and then again we have a Minha and Seokhyung scene. When Minha gets told off by Seokhyung. This episode, they had a lot of conversation. They had a lot of, you know, I would say exchanges between them. Isn't it?
They did.
And I was really upset with the way she got scolded because she picked up his phone.
Right, that then, broke my heart, to be honest.
Yeah, she started crying. She started doubting herself. And but I somehow feel, I don't know why, but I always feel Gomgom is going to be a very passionate couple if they get to get together. They could be. I'm rooting for them. Ah, come on! I mean, the director Shin Won-ho, please kindly do not. Break our hearts. It's a little too much at this point.
So, Ria, you were mentioning that you know how the episode had a lot of conversations between Minha and Seokhyung, and I remember reading a theory on Twitter which said that, you know, it is also showing slowly and gradually how Seokhyung is actually letting her in. So at this point in time, let's talk about the door theory that I actually wrote down on Twitter. Minha, especially two people, Minha and Ikjun, have something to do with the doors. You know, it's a metaphor a lot of time. Like, remember in season one, how Ikjun entered the room with Songkhwa. He was the only one who entered the room with the coffee. Right? And so Minha,
there was another very funny scene between Seokhyung and Ikjun. Remember the Wang Chimney station?
I'm pronouncing
it correctly. Wang Chimney, I think. That was a hilarious scene between Seokhyung and Ikjun. But then again, he just forces Ikjun out of the room. Remember, he just locks the door. So that might be, for laughter's sake. But then, at this point, with the door and everything, it feels like it's poignant to an extent where he is not ready to let anybody in, even if that is Ikjun, who with his bullheadedness sometimes he just breaks down the wall and he just enters. With good motive, definitely good motive, then he's probably even not letting Ikjun in at this point of time. But yes, something happened.
Go on.
No. I say that, but something positive happened even when, you know, Gomgom heart was aching. There was something that was a positive that came out of this episode. Would you like to talk about that, the door part?
Yeah, definitely. So, you know, just continuing on the line, how you said that he's not even letting it be come into his life. He's locking everyone out. Like, you know, don't come near me. Do not try to open the gate. But for Minha, who is always around the door, thinking, should I enter, should I not? Should I knock before I enter? What should I do? What should I say? He's the one who opens the door. And says,
right.
You know, I can see you. I can see you. So come in. And then he says, you know, he says this important line, you're not afraid of me, right? And it is used in a very different sense. But, you know, it's kind of a foreshadowing to something beyond, because Seokhyung wants someone who is not afraid of his insecurities, not afraid of stuff, things that are there inside him, because there's a lot going on inside him. He might not show it on his face, but you know, so many things are there on his mind. Mm-hmm. So he wants someone who is not afraid of him. And if you look at the scene, he's making coffee. And the last time somebody was making coffee was Pandava for Ikjun in episode 11. Remember? And these are the two dicey characters who have not, you know, talked about their feelings.
Right.
They have not let the other person in. And I think Ikjun and Minha kind of have a parallel. Similarly, like Songhwa and Seokhyung have a parallel. So then he makes coffee for her. So, you know, it's very slow, but he's letting her in. And then he kind of overshares with her when he does not want to. And he says that, you know, I do not know why I said this, but I said. And then Minha is very happy. Oh my God, see what I made him do. And and then she, you know, rushes
she's
out.
Just like a bunny. She's like an excited bunny. She runs around, and she is such an opportunist in a good way. she might be down and upset for 5 minutes, but the next moment she is always, she's jumping around, she's full of energy. She has got so much of positivity in her that I feel that she, I think I've mentioned this before as well, I think she's the best thing that could ever happen to our, you know, stoic-like, Seokhyung. She's the best thing that could have happened to him. And she is the one who is going to break down his walls, his defenses, and is going to bring him up. I'm just rooting for them at this moment. I was so upset when I watched the episode, but then when I started reading all these theories and I rewatched it, then I realized that no, it's not completely bad for them. It is a work in progress. It is obviously it will take a lot of time, but then it's going to sail, I believe, at this point.
So true. You know, also, you know, Minha makes me giddy. Like, she's such a relatable character. I think we both can relate to her so much. Because she's imperfect, but yet, you know, she has her downfalls, and then she gets up. She's so resilient.
Absolutely.
And I love her, love that about her, and how she wants to learn so much. She is concerned about her patients, and you know, she's invested into whatever she's doing. So yeah, 3 years for Minha.
Yes, absolutely. And at this point, Seokhyung's happiness is a lot, it's dependent on Minha, which is very surprising, because Seokhyung as a character, he wants to stop thinking about others and wants to do whatever makes him happy. That's what he said in the last season, that I kind of manipulated all of you into the forming this band because this is what I wanted to do at this point, at this juncture of my life. I want to do things that make me happy, and being with my friends in a band is what makes me happy.
Right.
So I tried. So I wanted to lure all of you into this, forming this band. And let's just hope that Minha also features somewhere in his life. I'm sure she does. And he is probably taking a notice now. Right at the end, where he receives a message from Shinhae that's asking him to meet over dinner, we can see that they are meeting at the cafeteria, which means that he wants to send the message that, you know, this is we are not going to go beyond this. This is a place, this is my workplace, so we'll just keep it simple right over here.
Right,
but remember, the same thing happened with Ikjun and Guara's character. Isn't it? He took her to the cafeteria. She said that we could go out somewhere. he refused. He said, well, the food in our cafeteria is really good.
Right. So, you know, the going out in especially in hospital playlist is like the start of the relationship. Like, if you see kindergarten, going out in the club. And
sorry to interrupt. If you remember, even I think in season episode 3 in season 1, Ikjun and his wife, they met in the cafeteria. And Ikjun insisted that we could have met elsewhere as well. But she said that no, it's okay. I'm not going to take up a lot of time. It's going to be very quick. See? So it's like whenever you are drawing a boundary around yourself, that is when you choose that hospital as a neutral ground. That's what I feel. The hospital cafeteria. It's a neutral ground over there, I feel. Right?
Yeah, I guess it's like it's the start of new things as well, but then it has to move forward somewhere. Like, you have entered into my space, but now I let you in for how long and do I expand it for you? That depends a lot.
Because right at the end, we see when she says that, well, we can do this once in a while, you know, we can have dinner like this. Which indicates that she would want to get back together with Seokhyung. However, we do not know what Seokhyung's reaction or answer was, but we do see him keeping his fork and knife aside, or rather his chopsticks aside. And kind of a finality that no, it's not going to happen or something of that sort.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, Seokhyung's character is someone who doesn't hate people except, you know, his father. And so he's also concerned about someone he was married to. He is definitely. But then he was very taken aback to look at the reaction. He was like exasperated, a bit exasperated. Like, that's his reaction. He's like, what am I going to do now? Like, if you have noticed all the conversations that were there, it was mostly, you know, what is, how much should I step in? How much should I open my boundaries? Every time, you know, Shin-Hai asks something, he's like, what? And then he corrects himself and, you know, says something. Talking about parallels that are there, it was very interesting that I saw on Twitter today. The parallels between Jinwon Ikjun and Ikjun Sang-woo-bop near the emergency room, that is. So, you know, the scene in episode 12 last season when Jinwon is a little asleep and he rubs his eyes and Ikjun walks to him, and very similarly, he was also a little sleepy and Sang-woo-bop walked. And that, like, there was a parallel that was drawn, and it seemed like a very fun parallel that was there.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Yes. Right.
With that, let's talk about some of the theories around Ikjung, because I think
before we get into that, let's talk about the scene that happened right outside the ER. Have we talked about that? I don't think so.
About Minho and Seokhyung, or
No. The five lackeys, rather four lackeys and the girl. When Song-woo comes in her new, I think the latest model of I don't speak cars and drivers, but I think it's a Mercedes, right?
Okay.
Which she drives. I might be wrong though. the four boys, they're so excited. They were hooting like almost like a siren. Right before that, we could see Ikjun being nosy and asking Seokhyung about his ex-wife, and then also he inquires a little bit about Winter Garden's love life, whether they are dating or not. And the fun part was especially when he catches up with Jinwan, and the fear and the terrified expression that was there on Junwan's face. I'm like, dude, you're 40 years old. Why are you so scared? What will Ikjit do to you? And I think with the kind of questions and with the kind of expression that Ikjit had, it looks like, he already had an inkling. Yeah, he knows. He already has an inkling that what is going on. And he's just yanking his chain around.
Now, I think this is a lot of a bro code that is there, that you can't date my sister. That is one broke that bro code.
well, I would rather say that Junwa, it's his sister who is dating his friend. Clearly, she is the one who dictates their relationship rather than Junwa, right? So it's not Junwan who is dating his sister. It's more like Ikjun who is dating his friend.
I agree. Yep. So,
also, when we see them entering Sangwa's car, that's where we get a little bit of the awkwardness between Sangwa and Ikjun. Remember? Yes. There is one theory that is when he entered, if you remember, he just tore open that plastic cover that was there to protect the car, the inside of the car. And Sangwa got annoyed. I read some theories where they're saying that it's just like how Ikjit is ready to open up and he's ready for a change. However, Sangwa is not.
Oh my God. She
still wants to keep her emotions and her inner thoughts sealed inside herself. She is not ready to let it go. That's what one theory was.
That makes a lot of sense. I mean, I got a little bored by listening to this theory. So yeah, that is what exactly happened over there.
There is another one that is also about that car. Is that if you remember when she was backing the car, Ikjun tells her that you don't really need to look at the back. You can look at the front because there is the screen over there, which tells you literally where you should be going. Which means don't look at the back, look at the front. What is there in front of you? You understand? Because while she was backing the car, if you revisit this scene, you will find, because I just revisited that, and it was so telling because he said that don't look at the back, look at the front. The screen is right there in front of you. And then she said, why didn't you tell? Oh, yes, of course. And then she laughs and he says, it has always been there. Yeah, it's been long time. It's been long time that the screen is right there. So if you put Ikjun in that place, it can mean like this, that I have always been waiting for you. I'm right there in front of you. Why are you looking back? Look in front. And just by looking in front, you can steer your car. Could be, it could be far-fetched, but I really thought that this theory sounds actually good. It actually sounds good.
It does. Big brains.
Seriously. There are so many people they're so smart, right? I feel, I just read their theory. I was so depressed and upset that, what happened with them. But then I started reading the theories and I'm like, wow, people have actually thought about this so much more than I have.
Yeah, but also, if you look at this scene, there's this underlying metaphor meaning that is there. But also the scene, the direction, the shot that is taken, you can sense a little bit of tension between Sangwa and Ikjun.
Yes, because the moment they come face to face, Sangwa feels like there is a very little distance between those two people. And Sangwa actually feels threatened and he said, did you really have to do that? Why did you do it? Like, just to mitigate the tension that is there. It is thick. The tension is thick.
Yeah. I mean, I can feel Sangava at this point of time in season one. I was impressed. I was charmed by her. But in the very first episode, I can feel her. I can feel her tensions. I know she wants to run away. I know she wants to take a break. And that's where what she did, right? She ran away. But then she kept coming back as well. And I think that's what happens in life also, that we want to escape, but we want to stay as well.
Correct.
So, that is there. And going on the same lines, the very same lines, let's talk about another theory when, you know, after their band practice, when Sangava and Ikjun are again alone and she's driving. If you look at it, there are no cars that are there ahead of her, but she keeps on pressing on the brake. And then when she enters the tunnel that is there, when she enters, there is like a rainbow lighting that is there. So, you're saying that for some time, she will take her time, she'll take breaks into thinking, into considering the thunderstorm has come, but eventually, they will enter into a rainbow tunnel and the ship would sail. It will take time, but it would sail. And
it looks like that. Yeah, because we have been teased by some very cute and nice Ik Song pictures, scenes rather. Yes, so I'm sure they will be coming back for if not, because if their friendship is ruined because of this, or if they are awkward around each other, we will never get those scenes, right? So
definitely
in the coming episodes we will.
Also, I think it is definitely going to be Sangava who would now come to it. Like, you know, the last scene when she goes into his office, he repeats three times, "I will come to you. Do not come to me. I will come to you." And then she says that, you know, do not share your feelings because it might get awkward. Even without referring to herself, both of them, without, they did not refer to themselves. They talk like in third person.
Because in the last season, in episode 12, Ikjun says it in a third person narrative, right? That I have this friend of mine, whom I have known for years, but then somehow I fell for her, and now if I tell her how I feel, it might get complicated. It might get awkward between us. But if I chicken out again, then I will not be able to live with it. That is.
Yeah, so I definitely would wait when she and both of them talk in first person about their feelings. And so I think we are going to see a very vulnerable song about this season where she would be breaking down. And then I think that this scene would be very charged up. That would be, this is 20 years of pent-up emotion. Both of them are afraid, and then I think both of them are going to cry. And
I think so. I think at this point it's important we have understood what it means, what Sangva means to Ikjun. I think it's time for us to know what Ikjun means to Sangva.
Right.
We can see Ikjun taking care of Sangva a lot. You know, we have seen him waiting for her. If you remember when they went out to eat. During that rainy day, they were out, they were having something, Sujebi or something, I don't know how to pronounce it. But then she receives a call from the hospital and she runs. If you remember that scene, she runs forgetting her coat and everything. It's Ikjun who picks it up, and follows her. And then brings her to the hospital. She opens the door and she runs away. He's again there to close the doors and make sure that he waits out for her. Once she is done, he has been waiting there for a long period of time. Once she is done, he calls her up and tells her that I'm waiting. How would you go home? You don't even have your car with you today. So, and then we can see that there is an extra skip in her, in her gait. And then then we really do not see anything apart from that, but then we get the idea that he drops her home.
Definitely, yeah.
And then again, he monitors her eating habits because she tends to very quickly. He monitors that. Remember how he, I mean, mm-hmm. it's a clear cut joke. That he asks her to. He has taught her some kind of a chant that she has to do before she starts eating and all.
It also, you know, he's trying to tell her, you know, slow down.
Yes.
Give yourself some breathing space.
Right.
Because this moment is not going to come back again. So, you know.
Yes, right. So, the elephant in the room was addressed this time and very naturally did not go according to our wishes and plans. Well, we did predict that it would go in this way, but then it really hurt, especially when we look at the two brilliant actors who were there in the scene. What a performance.
Yeah. I mean, I think now that I look back, you know, I saw that scene again. And, you know, you have been talking Junchuk a lot about his acting. And I went back to that scene and I saw it and I could feel it now. Somehow, it hit the second time to me.
Absolutely. In fact, why I was so impressed, because I did send this clipping to one of our common friends. And she said that, you know, she definitely doesn't watch Hospital Playlist much, but I keep sending her some clippings and all that. And she herself said that his acting at the end of it, it's so haunting. If you look at his face, you can see an array of expressions. There was a little bit of an expectation, even though he was resigned. You could see in his, you know, in his facial expression when they finished their band practice, that he knew that a rejection was coming his way. But then there was still a little bit of, expectation that it might be a yes. And then when she started saying, you know, I don't think you should tell her all these things, you slowly see the kind of expressions that are there. First he's hurt, then he accepts it, and then he shakes his hand, shakes his head to just kind of think that, why did I have to do this? Why did I make it so uncomfortable? What was I really expecting? Of course, this would happen. Exactly. The little shake that was there of his head, like right at the end when Sanwa leaves, you could see that. That what was I thinking? So it's like an array of expressions, and it was so good. Even for Meadows, acting, I would say, was brilliant. The kind of, not knowing what to do, the indecision. We have always seen Sanwa to be someone who is very sure of herself.
Yeah, yeah.
When she refused Seokhyeong, she was very direct. She does it right on that spot. He proposes and she says no. But then she again, she tries to, you know, go to Seokhyeong and pulls him up and he says, let's go and have fun. And it was on her birthday 20 years back. And with Chi Hong's case, also, she just shuts him down by saying that she's not interested. And that's it. And she was also vocal when he started making her uncomfortable. He said, you're making me uncomfortable. I will not have dinner with you alone. Remember? But with Aekjun, she doubted herself. She took time. And especially at first, I thought that maybe it wasn't the case. But then she waited out in that car.
Yeah.
She said,
yeah.
I'll do. She said, I'll do, well, I'll go and I'll do whatever I want to do, and then I'll come back and all. But she stole, she waited out. She waited there for almost 7-8 hours, I believe, for the entire duration of Ikjun's, you know, surgery. She did not go away. She was right there. She could have, you know, met other people in the hospital. She had her fellows and her interns over there. She could have gone and met other friends, but she didn't. She waited out in the car, thinking, overthinking, constantly doubting herself. And then she goes out, and then she says, well, at this point, we are all conjecturing. But I would like to believe that it wasn't easy for her to turn Ikjun down.
Definitely. I think it is very evident on her facial expressions as well. You know, the way she has a nervous laugh in the end when after she's done telling him not to share his emotions with the friend. And she has a very nervous laugh. She's uncomfortable too. And then she immediately leaves the room. She does not... Yeah, she runs away.
Absolutely. And even when she was when she entered the room, she was right in front of the door, as if she was looking for a way to leave that place.
Yeah, to run away. Right.
She did not enter. She did not enter. She did not sit down. She did nothing. She stood right over there, like 1 foot outside, out of the door. That once I'm done talking about this, I'll just leave. And also the camera angle, the way they shot the scene, it's very interesting.
It's a part of it. Yeah, a part of it is like hidden. A part of it you cannot see. And also the lighting of the room. If you see the one that Ikjun confessed, it was full of light, full of opportunity. But when Sangava turned him down, it was darkness. And also at this point, you know, you can see Sangava's image in the mirror.
Exactly. And I was about to bring that up. Yeah, yeah, absolutely true.
Yeah. Yeah, so
very correct.
In the last season, we know that mirror followed Jeongwon. And that mirror actually shows that you're not telling something, you're hiding something. And in that season, he was hiding his emotions for Gyeol.
That is because when you stand in front of a mirror, it gives you an opposite, like it's an opposite image, isn't it? Yeah, it's an opposite image. Oh my God, I'm getting goosebumps. Who knew writing could be this difficult? Who knew writing a serial could be this difficult? We come from from a country where our soaps are daily soaps, where people hardly have any idea of what they are writing and what they are showing on television.
So yeah, so, this level of writing, I would have like an imposter syndrome while I look at my writing now.
True. It's so difficult. I mean, it's so interesting. I wouldn't call it difficult, but it's highly interesting how... you know, they explore human psyche and all that.
Yeah, I mean, I still have goosebumps.
So, well, we have just, we have the song, I think. There was one new song that was there. It's Rain and You. The sentences, actually, the lines of the song, they are very telling. They actually tell the story of Seokhyung and Minha because it is Seokhyung's choice, I think. He chose the song. So it is Seokhyung and Minha, Seokhyung and Shinhae, and also it's Ikjun and Sona.
Yes.
It's also about the woman who lost her child and frequented the hospital just to maintain that kind of connection between herself and herself. The dead son and the hospital. The one thing, the two, I think the two or three sentences which were there, I'm giving up on love. That is so sad, right? I'm giving up on love. Why am I crying like a fool? Which is in a reprise. And then these, the entire song actually, it's very, very, I don't know, very moving.
It is definitely. What?
What do you think?
Definitely, it the song that is there. I think it starts when you look at it with the lyrics and everything, and you try to place it with the context. It hits you. But that's like every song of the whole series that is there.
Right. I don't miss you anymore. I don't even want to see you. I forget that I loved you quietly. What I don't know is that my heart, when it rains, I cry. Like a day you left a long time ago. I'm fine now. I gave up on love. I'm a fool. Will I cry? Faded memories. How busy was that? I still miss you. I'm fine now. I gave up on love. I'm a fool. Will I cry? I won't come again. This is telling. Can you see? I won't come again. I don't like me. For how long will my heart hurt? I'm fine now. I give up on love. I'm a fool. Will I cry?
It's reassurance to your own self. It's a very, it's a self song. You're telling it to yourself.
Exactly.
That, I have been a fool and I'm not going to do this. But inside, you're crying because it's rain. And the rain will remind me of you. And, the rain is the symbol that is used for this song. We know that. So,
well, Winter Garden fans would say rain is for them as well. They had a nice moment with umbrella and all.
Well, they also had some rain scenes.
Yeah. So this time, initially it was winter for them because there was snowfall and everything. But now winter is for Seokhyung and Minha as well. We saw Minha getting completely snowed down.
Oh, yes. That is But also, when hearts meet, there's warmth that is created and that melts the snow. And I think that is why they had rain for them. But Seokhyung's heart is now kind of like there's a discomfort. There's like a frozenness that is there. So snow for them.
Yeah. It's slowly melting. But even in reply, we had seen that how first snow was highlighted over there as well. What first snow actually meant for the characters over there, for Sunu, Bora, and Jokseon, even for Jeon, that feeling of first love and how it is perceived by people.
That is true. I think one thing that I thinking about it, I think the one that was the Bidulji scene that was there, it was good, but it did not, even though Bidulji is my favorite couple, it did not warm my heart somehow.
Bit of an issue with how they're handling the couple, at this point. Does it feel like they are like it's a little too immature at this point, the kind of way they are dealing with it? I don't know, I might be wrong, but
I'm not so immature, but I kind of feel that it's like a sideline. I mean, it's not main, it's not main, it's never gonna be main, and then something like that. I did not feel it and I felt bad about it.
Yeah, true. Until and unless Ikseon comes back, I think this is what we are going to get from them with Junwan. I don't know why they're doing it, because they're as a couple, they're very cute and they're very nice to look at. They match each other very well. So I don't know at this point why they are sidelining this couple. Let's just hope that, you know, she comes back and we have a grand reunion of sorts.
But I think also maybe they're showing the realness of relationships that are there. You know, how the reality is changing. Now many people move abroad. And maybe they want to highlight that part because long distance relationship is one reality that is there now. Now
that is true. Yeah, that is true. Also, that is one thing. And this, and I have seen that in all the episodes, they do give one couple the maximum attention. And for this, it was Seokhyung, Minha, and Shinhae for this season, for this episode. They had the maximum screen space, and the entire turmoil. I'm talking about the everything taken together. Shinhae, Seokhyung, Seokhyung and Minha, Minha alone, or Seokhyung alone, contemplating the entire thing that is building up, or you know, has reached a point. What am I supposed to do and all that? So that part has taken up a lot of space in this episode, which I'm very happy about, because in the last season we did not get Gomgom that much, and I told you, remember, that it's going to get more complicated when the ex-wife is brought into the question. Brought into the scene.
I mean, whatever we actually expected, we got it. Whatever we discussed, we got it, but now it hurts.
Seriously, yeah, I mean, like I was telling my mother the other day that I keep on conjecturing, I keep on thinking about whatever I see or whatever I wish to see in the next installment. In case of every show, every movie franchise that I have actually watched, but then none of them really became a reality. You know that. My Shippa heart for Steve Rogers and Natasha Romanoff, how it fell apart. And I am still salty about it. So 10 years of my shipping them just went down the drain. But then, so this is not just them. It has happened with quite a few shows and quite a few movies. But then this is the first time my predictions came right, and I'm not happy about it. I just hope, because I predicted bad things, I don't know. With the hope that, you know, that everybody will get their happy ending. It's going to be challenging for both Gomgom and Iksong, but it's going to be much difficult for Iksong. I feel like this season's Bidulgi is Gomgom. You know, they'll open up quicker than these two, 20 years of friendship. They are going to be the winter garden of this season. The law of will they, won't they kind of thing.
I agree. Also, there's something that stuck to me just now. You know, the name Gomgom. And we know that bears hibernate in winter. So, you know, the relationship was hibernating in the first season. So if you know, summer comes to them, if their life summer comes, that's when their relationship, their feelings would come and their relationship would bloom. And then we would need a new ship name for them. Or, yeah, maybe they're awake beer, so Gomgom would work.
Maybe. Because if you remember in the trailer, there was this scene where Seokhyung is having dinner with Songa. Dinner or some kind of, they were chatting, I believe. They were the only two people out there. So they were either talking about Minha and Seokhyung, or they were talking about Ikjun and Songa. Either of them. It's either. I think at this point it will be Ikjin and Sama, and you know, Seokhyung will play a part over there.
I definitely.
I think he'll be the one to ask her to go for it.
I think he would be like, you know, why are you so nervous? Go for it and, you know, try. I think Seokhyung would be the one playing the part.
Yes, because somehow there is a triangle. Now, even if the triangle is not like, it's not there anymore, but there was a triangle between these two, these three. And I think, like, we don't really give him that credit, but Seokhyung might have got an idea that, you know, Ikjun liked her and she liked him. You do get those kind of senses until and unless you are like Junwan, who has got no clue about anything. Seokhyung is a quiet guy, and it feels like he could be more perceptive. And he probably knows that there is something going on, or there was something initially as well. And maybe he had never questioned it, but at this point, I think he will ask her, talk to her, and, you know, maybe not directly, but indirectly he'll tell her that, you know, you should give him a chance, or rather you should give yourself a chance.
Yes, I agree. I also want from, you know, from Ikjun's side, I kind of want Ikjun to intervene. Like I said, I want in this expectations episode as well, I said that I want a parallel scene when Ikjun comes to Ikjun and, you know, says that, tell me what you're feeling, share with me. Because I think they both are the ones who are there for each other. They have been there for each other. And I kind of want that.
But then in that case, she has to come back, you know. She has to come back, and for that to happen, she has to come back to Korea.
I just don't want that, you know, Ikjun becomes an extra character.
Exactly. None of us want her to be an extra character, because she's not. She's an important part. She's an important part in Ikjun's life. She's an important part in Junwan's life as well. So two people who mean a lot to her and to whom she means a lot. So I don't think, I would be really upset if they make her an extra character. It's upsetting. And also, she is the only one who is not from the medical background. One couple that is there with, where the couples are from different backgrounds and not really within the friend circle or within the, you know, hospital workplace romance. So it's very important that she is given a lot of importance. I hope that she's not reduced to a side character in the side. I would really be upset. But then, you know, I am not very confident when about the writer. She has her own way of going about things, and she might end up not just separating them, but then she might reduce some main characters as subordinate characters as well. She did that in Reply. I'm still very upset about that. So let's just hope that she doesn't do it. So what are your expectations from episode two?
I think some movement, Gomgom movements, some advancement in their story, some Ikseong movements trying to reduce the tension that is now created between them. Of course, we'll get
How do you think Ikjun will react around Songwa?
I mean, someone who is just rejected, there are two ways. Either they will forget about it and try to be their normal self.
Can you forget about it?
I mean, that's a broken mechanism, right? That you try to just wave it off, try to just of course, there would be undertones of hurting, but that's a coping mechanism. Forgetting about is it is. And the second one would be the awkward one. They will try, they will do something, but they would still remain a very, you know, a cloud that would be there between them. You know, the silence, the deadly cloud that is there until it rains, until, you know, that is why I'm saying, until it rains, until the time they are vulnerable and they're real to each other, it's not gonna work. Until the time they do not they do not stop referring to each other in third person, until they say that it is me, and it's not gonna work. It has to rain. That is has to happen.
Right. And at this, I don't know, I think in front of the friends, they will try to act as normal as possible.
Mm-hmm.
But I think Ekjun will reduce his presence in Songhwa's life, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, could be, but
Because if he thinks, if he realizes that his presence is making her uncomfortable,
mm-hmm.
then I think he will. Because Songhwa also needs to realize what Ekjun means to her.
True.
Sometimes, you know, the absence of that person from your life or the subtle changes that are brought about that help you to decide, that help you to navigate things according to your, like, according to what you feel like, and, you know, kind of basically what I've been trying to say is that that might act as a catalyst,
mm-hmm.
which would help Songhwa sort out her emotions and her thought processes a little bit towards each other.
Right.
Because there has to be some changes. Because if he goes back to being the goofy Ekjun we all knew,
mm-hmm.
it's all fun. Absolutely, he will be like that with others. But with Songhwa, there has to be a little shift in their relationship. Because she needs to understand what he means to her.
Mm-hmm.
And what losing him might, you know, what that might mean to her as well. Ekjun is not there in my life any longer. What will I do without
mm-hmm.
him? She should start missing him more. That's what I think. It might sound stupid, but then she has to come to the realization. I don't know how she will come to the realization. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
There has to be a way.
Yeah, that is true.
Anything more? Anything else you want to discuss? Any other theories that are there in your mind?
I think that would be it for this episode.
Hmm.
And I am excited about the second one now.
Yeah, me too. Initially, I was so upset and I was so morose that I did not know what I was about to expect in season two. But I'm a little more... happier. I'm a little more I'm a little more chirped up at this point to see actually what is there in store for us. Let's see, let's just hope that all our couples are happy and together,
mm-hmm.
and nobody really needs to break up or needs mm-hmm. to go through a lot of pain. But then I think with Songhwa and Ekjun and Gom Gom, it's going to be a roller coaster of a ride. It would be a journey.
Even, you know, even for Bidulgi, I think it's going to be a big ride, because we do not know how the story would unfold.
Yeah, for now, at least they are happy and they're in a good space. That's what I mean. At least we are entering into season, into episode two with the knowledge that both Winter Garden and Bidulgi are doing well in their respective relationships. We are more concerned with the complicated relationship which Gom Gom and Ik Song have at this point of time. maybe it will change when season episode 3 comes up, but then for now, at least for Thursday's episode, I'm more concerned about Gum Gum and Iksom, where things are going for them.
Right.
How long will it take for them to open up? I think Gum Gum will be faster than Iksom. That is saying something. Right. I don't want them to drag out Iksom for season 3. That would be like really upsetting. I will not be able to wait for 2022. You know, just get to see them together. I want them happy this season. I want them together this season. And I don't know what will I do if I don't get it.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay. So we are almost towards the end of our podcast. I hope everybody who joined us, who listened to us, I hope they enjoyed themselves. We enjoyed ourselves, right, Celine?
Yeah, I definitely did. Like, I had little goosebumps and we laughed so much. I loved it.
Yeah, absolutely. Because I had no idea the card thing meant so much. Okay. When I read all those comments and all those theories and explanations, and I was like, wow, I really didn't think of that. And then I read and rewatched that scene and I realized that how true it is. You know? And you know, there's another interesting thing is that when we see Sawa back waiting for Ekjun to finish off his surgery, we see that the protective cover is back in place. That means that she is guarding herself and her heart to deliver the not so, you know, welcoming news. Wow, too many theories.
And single episode, can you imagine?
Pardon? What is it?
I said so many theories in a single episode. Can you imagine?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, they took the entire year off to just think of what they can show in their first episode. It's amazing. A very warm, I think a big applause goes for all the actors, the director, the writer, the crew members, everyone has been working tirelessly in this pandemic to bring this wonderful show to us. Once again, you can watch Hospital Playlist on Netflix at around 7:30 on Thursday, IST, that is Indian Standard Time. That's around, that is the time when it gets released here, right?
Yeah.
And those of you who are new to our podcast, I'm Ria and I have Celine with me. We go through analysis and we go through a lot of theories and we try to dissect each episode of Hospital Playlist, which is our favorite show at the moment. And I hope you all will enjoy the process as well. Thank you so much. Celine, you have something to say? Or shall we just sign off for today?
Yeah, so we would sign off, but let's end this episode by listening to the song for the episode, that is Rain and May, right?
Rain and You. And shall we end the episode with such a depressing song?
But it is the song.
It is the song of the episode, and it is a wonderful song. No doubt about that. And it's amazing. Yeah. So, with the song Rain and You.
Oh. 없죠. 사랑한 것도 잊혀가네요. 조용하게 알 수 없는 건 그런 내 맘이 비가 오면 눈물이 나요. 아주